You could recognize that melody even if a piano played it. But what made that excerpt so arresting was not the melody by itself. It was the color. Snare drum underneath, a single wind instrument on top, almost no harmonic drama, almost no rhythmic change. Maurice Ravel begins Bolero with the thinnest possible texture, then spends 15 minutes changing almost nothing except timbre. Today, we're going to learn to hear exactly that, musical color, musical thickness, and the composer's choice of who says what. Three words anchor this lecture. Timbre means tone color. Why a flute and a violin playing the same note do not sound like the same event. Texture means how many layers of music are happening at once, and how those layers relate to each other. Orchestration is the art of assigning musical material to instruments and combining those instruments for effect.
Pitch tells you what note. Timbre tells you who is speaking. Texture tells you how crowded the room is. Orchestration is the composer's casting and lighting. A little science, but only a little. When an instrument plays a note, you do not hear just one frequency. You hear a fundamental pitch plus a pattern of upper overtones, also called harmonics. Different instruments emphasize different overtones, and they begin the note differently. A flute has a clean, airy attack. A violin blooms from bow against string. A trumpet has brass edge. A clarinet is hollow and woody.
That overtone profile plus attack and vibrato is what your ear identifies as timbre.
And one more distinction. Instrumentation is simply the list of instruments available. Strings, woodwinds, brass, percussion. Orchestration is what the composer does with them.
Doubling means two instruments play the same line together.
Divisi means a section, usually the strings, splits into multiple lines.
Solo means one player exposed.
Tutti means the full group.
These are not technical footnotes. They are the reason one passage feels intimate and another feels overwhelming.
Let's deal with texture first, because it's the easiest thing to identify once you know the categories. There are three basic textures you should hear immediately. Monophonic, one line alone. Homophonic, melody with accompaniment. Polyphonic, multiple independent lines happening at once. You've already heard all three in this course. Now let's label them clearly.
First, monophony. One melodic line, no harmony, no accompaniment, no inner voices doing anything independent.
Even if several singers are singing that together, they are singing the same line. That still counts as monophonic texture. One musical thought, no accompaniment, just a single strand.
Second, homophony.
One line carries the melody while the rest supports it.
That is the dominant texture of most music you hear in daily life. A tune on top, accompaniment underneath. The left hand matters, but it is not competing to become its own melody. It is supporting.
Third,
polyphony, more than one real melodic line at once.
There, no single line is merely accompaniment. Each voice has its own logic. So, Chant gives you monophony, Chopin gives you homophony, Bach gives you polyphony. If you can sort music into those three buckets, your ear is already more organized than it was half an hour ago.
Now to timbre and orchestration. Bolero is the perfect laboratory because Ravel removes almost every other variable. The rhythm stays constant. The melody stays constant. The harmony barely moves.
What changes is the speaker. First one instrument, then another, then another, then doublings, then full orchestral mass. Listen to the opening again.
Opening instrument is the flute. Notice how little physical weight it has. The sound is clear, narrow, almost cool to the touch. It carries easily, but it does not press on you.
Underneath it, the snare drum is absolutely impersonal. No romance, no rubato, just mechanism. Ravel begins with a solo line over accompaniment, so the texture is homophonic, but the homophony is extremely thin.
A little later, the same melody returns in a darker woodwind color. Listen for how the line suddenly seems more bodily, more grainy, more human. Same contour, same notes, different timbre, different emotional effect. The melody has thickened. It is no longer that cool flute line. The color is woodier now, more nasal, less innocent. This is the central lesson of orchestration. Changing the instrument changes the meaning, even if the notes are untouched. Farther in, Ravel starts choosing colors that do not blend politely into the standard symphonic palette. You begin to hear reedier, more sensuous sounds, and the orchestral surface becomes more exotic. That is not just louder, it is richer, denser, stranger. Ravel is expanding the overtone world of the piece. Then, near the end, he stops thinking in solo colors and starts thinking in masses. Lines are doubled, sections are layered, and the entire orchestra becomes one giant machine. is tutti, the whole orchestra driving together. Notice what happened psychologically. At the beginning, you listened to a person. By the end, you were inside an event. Same melody, different orchestration, completely different experience. If you understand that one fact, you understand why Ravel is considered one of the great orchestrators in music history.
Rimsky-Korsakov uses orchestration differently. Ravel uses it as controlled experiment. Rimsky uses it as storytelling. In Scheherazade, orchestral color is character. Heavy brass and low strings represent the stern Sultan. The solo violin, often over harp, is Scheherazade herself, flexible, seductive, improvisatory, alive. Listen to the opening and hear the contrast. Those opening brass statements are authority, almost law. Then the solo violin enters and the whole atmosphere changes. The violin line bends, ornaments, hovers. The harp underneath makes the sound shimmer rather than march. This is orchestration as narrative shorthand. Before you know any plot, you already know who is rigid and who is fluid.
Now Holst, The Planets, is a masterclass in large-scale palette. Each movement lives in a different orchestral world. Mars is brute force. Venus is suspended peace. Jupiter is public joy. The notes matter, of course, but the first thing your ear registers is color.
First, Mars. Strings played like percussion. Brass with almost no softness in the attack. A hard ostinato, mechanical and inhuman. Holst is not just writing in five. He is choosing a palette of metal, strain and impact.
Now Venus. Hear how everything softened? Solo horn, gentle woodwinds, spacious accompaniment.
No pressure in the articulation. The orchestra suddenly seems to breathe more slowly. This is why orchestration matters. If you took Venus's melody and scored it for Mars's instruments, it would stop sounding peaceful.
And now Jupiter.
Fuller brass, buoyant strings, rhythmic lift, brighter upper winds. Jupiter radiates extroversion. Not violence like Mars, not stillness like Venus, but social energy. Holst does not merely compose themes for planets. He assigns its own sound world. One more example, because this is something you should hear in your bones. Prokofiev's Dance of the Nights from Romeo and Juliet. Why does it feel so heavy? Partly because of the harmony and rhythm, yes, but above all because of register and instrumentation. Low brass and low strings speaking in grim unison. If a flute played that line, it would lose half its menace. Prokofiev puts the idea in the lowest, hardest, heaviest part of the orchestra. Then he doubles the weight. That is orchestration doing dramatic work, not decorating the music, defining its physical reality. This lecture connects backward to counterpoint because texture is partly about whether lines are independent. It connects forward to the advanced orchestration lecture, where we'll deal with register, spacing, balance, and the mechanics of doubling in more detail. It connects to the instruments and forces track, especially the orchestra lecture, where you'll hear how the ensemble grows from Baroque transparency to Mahlerian scale. And it connects to every composer portrait, from Rimsky-Korsakov to Debussy to Mahler, because all of them think in color as much as in notes. Check yourself. I'll play 4 short clips. For each one, identify the lead instrument or section. If you can, also ask yourself whether the texture is mostly monophonic, homophonic, or polyphonic. Clip 1. Clip 2. Clip 3. Clip 4.
Answers. Clip 1. Flute with a thin homophonic texture. Clip 2. Solo violin, again over accompaniment, so mostly homophonic. Clip 3. Horn leading a soft orchestral texture. Clip 4. Low brass doubled by lower strings, heavy homophony. If you got at least two of those, you're already starting to hear orchestral color as something concrete rather than vague.
Your assignment is to listen to Bolero in full, not casually, actively. Before each new entrance, try to predict which instrumental color will take the melody next. You will miss most of them on the first listen. That's normal. On the second or third pass, start noticing broader categories first. Woodwind, brass, strings, combination, full orchestra. By the end, you should feel the difference between solo, doubling, and tutti in real time. That's how orchestral hearing develops. Not by memorizing a chart, but by listening until color becomes as obvious as melody. I'll see you next time.